With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Serious Brat's favorite time of the year. The time of year where you smell burned chicken from a barbecue two doors down, where you see scantily clad women driving around in Jeeps, and of course, the infamous question of, is there really stuff in the pool that shows up if you pee in it? Well, you know, don't take the chances, folks. Just take a step outside and just, you know, pee on the outside of the pool, because it's really not worth it. From what I understand, it's pretty embarrassing. But we're not going to talk about peeing in the pool today. We're going to talk about Pin the Shoulders Podcast and our awesome guest, Jake O'Reilly, who will be joining us shortly. But guys, we got a round table to talk to. We got to talk to James Quinn and the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper. Boys, how are we doing tonight?
What's up, Brad?
Good. Nice. How are you, sir?
Doing awesome, guys. Doing really good. Excited to kick off this show and talk to Jake O'Reilly. Here he is, a really rad guy to talk to. He likes to punch people in the face and drink beer. I mean, I'm sure the guy's got a few stories to tell us. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? There's really not – I mean, he does that, and on top of that, he claims that he's the master of the pile driver. So – I'm interested to see how many people have gotten to experience the best pile driver in the world.
This is true. I'm sure we got some stories on that alone.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Absolutely. But, guys, what's going on your end? How is everything going on the pro wrestling scene and the movie-making scene? You guys just don't stop. Every time I turn on Twitter and Facebook, there's something going on with, you guys doing, films and – and, of course, the independent scene for you, Phil Stamper.
Things are going as best as they can, I guess is the best way to put it.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. How about you, James? How's everything going with you? Any snafus going on?
Yeah, it's going really well, buddy. Actually, just coming off a huge elongated weekend from filming. Instead of doing our usual 2 or 3 day shoot that we've been working on non-off list, we ended up doing 4 because our LA actress Maria Olson was in our Scream Queen, and so we really had a lot to do. We were doing 14 to 16 hour days on set, and that went from Friday through Monday. So I really didn't even get home till yesterday morning at 2 a.m. So I've been running on all cylinders today, trying to get caught up on the things I haven't got done the past 5 or 6 days. So. But we had some, really awesome scenes take place, and it really made the film look great this weekend, so I'm real proud of it. I'm just exhausted, you know what I mean? But it's a good kind of exhausted. You know? We like to stay busy, and here we are back on Pin the Shoulders on Wednesday. And, you know, things are progressing.
Absolutely. I like that. That was very nice. That was very energetic. The woohoo! I liked it a lot.
Absolutely.
And also, man, the scary monster... The lady on your the main, I guess the main villain, you would say, she's scary, man.
Maria Olson? Yeah, she's she is huge in horror, and she's really one of the nicest ladies in the world, man. And so it's so
they
great
did good with the makeup.
She's been, in so many big budget horror films as well as independent films, man. You know, I've seen her in the Percy Jackson films and American Horror Story and just, you name it. She's been to it, and just really, really
pretty
great
awesome.
Person to learn from, man. Yeah, we really fed well off of her. I had scenes with her, and you know what I mean? And really, I don't want to tell you too much about her character yet because it's really a fun one, and I think you're going to really enjoy her. Probably going to be a little scared by her, but you can judge just by those pictures, but it was fantastic.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. And before we get to our guests, guys, we know we got to kick off. We got to say, you know, our thanks. Of course, the great DeMarco and the great DeMarco Radio Network. You know, he's pumping out the time for us to, you know, just grab up and, you know, do these interviews and talk about our day-to-day lives. So, Greg, you're awesome, man. Thank you very much. And, of
Absolutely.
Course, guys.
Thanks, Greg.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry.
No, it's cool, man. It's cool.
We're off to a rocking start. We're like talking over each other.
It's this is what happens when it's the show before the kind of like vacation. You know, 4th of July is coming up, folks, and we're not gonna have a show next week. So it's almost like, you know, I'm kind of jello minded right now, and I apologize. I'm speaking all over everybody, and I just feel like a jerk. But yeah, you know, Greg DeMarco, we were talking about him. Thank you, sir. Also, guys, we're not only ProWrestling.biz. I mean, we still have the BreakingWrestlingNews.com where you guys can go check out our editorials and our podcasts, all the podcasts that we offer. And trust me, we offer quite a bit. Anywhere from review shows, the Mitchell Report, of course, Wednesday Cook Wednesday, Attitude of Aggression. We have a few, including, of course, Pin the Shoulders podcast. But we're also Yes Wrestling. So if you go to YesWrestling.com, there's also editorials there and podcasts that you can listen to. So go check us out. Of course, HiQ Hydration Energy and Squared Circle Apparel, Grapple, and Five Finger Jerky. It's beef snacks made by ninjas, people. I mean, why wouldn't you want to put that in your mouth? And please, Phil, do not answer that.
I don't even
but
know
hey
how to
guys.
Respond to that one.
I'm interested in the answer.
No, guys.
I was like, I don't. It's like my brain went, oh okay. And that's really all that was there.
Oh, buddy. Oh, but guys, also we got WrestleFest 8 over in Pro Wrestling in Chicago. Pro Wrestling Blitz, go check them out. I think I'm almost certain they still have tickets on sale, but what you guys got to go do is just go to pwblitz.com and you can buy your tickets there. Check them out on Twitter at Blitz Wrestling. And if you happen to not be there live May 27th, or I'm sorry, August 12th, 2017, this year, you can find it out on Fight TV and check them out after the fact. So that's what's going on my end. Phil, how about you, man? Do you have any awesome shows that are coming up?
So we'll be at Legacy Wrestling this coming weekend at Spooky Nook. Spooky. I hate this phrase. Spooky Nook Sports at 75 Champs Boulevard in Mannheim, Pennsylvania. That's Legacy Wrestling at Spooky Nook Sports. God help me, in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, this coming Saturday.
It's that type of night, man.
It's contagious,
man.
Brad. Whatever you've done is like spreading like a virus through all of us.
I apologize. And I'm not even drunk. I'm not drunk or anything. I'm not having any issues. I'm just – it's one of those days, man. And it's usually, you know, if it's not technology messing me up – you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to say fuck. If it's not technology fucking me up. Yeah, right, man? It's one of those nights. It's a fuck it night.
It's a
so,
fuck it night. Hashtag fuck it.
Yes. Fuck it, throw it in the bucket. There you go. But, hey, there's some other things I want to talk about. There's my local guys, Avalanche Wrestling Entertainment. They have a free show coming up, guys. July 8th, they're going to display all their talents. We get a champion versus champion. And we have a few guys coming up from Southern Maine. So if you're in the area, Presque Isle, Maine, July 8th, bell rings at 3 p.m. Go check us out and, go meet some of your favorite local wrestlers and see what we got to offer. And trust me, guys, it's a good show. It's always a good time. And the atmosphere is always on point. So not only are you getting that, you're getting it for free. And, so independent wrestling, baby. Hashtag supports. The indies, because that's where it's at. That's where the juice is at. And, of course, we always got to talk about my belly every once in a while. And my belly enjoys Pizza Box. It's fucking delicious. And if you say Serious Brad sent you, you're going to get a dollar off. And, on top of everything, guys, we're going to talk to our guest now. What can I say about this guy? This guy, he loves to punch people in the face. He likes to drink beer. And I'm almost certain he likes Metallica. And he's the master of the pile driver. His name is Jake O'Reilly. Welcome to the show, sir.
What's up, guys? I was actually listening to Led Zeppelin today at the gym. I think I like them more, but yeah, good intro. Very true.
Hey, man. Well, there's the first question answered. And, you know, one of his favorite bands is Led Zeppelin. So there's nothing wrong with that. Good choice there.
Thank you very much.
Well, hey, man, I just want to introduce you to the round table, if you will. James, the JQ Wade Quinn.
Mr. O'Reilly, hey. Welcome.
Thank you.
And, of course, the president of wrestling, Phil Stamper.
President of all wrestling?
Yeah.
That's what I understand.
That's awesome. Broad scoping sweep. Can I swear in this podcast?
Go for it.
Yes,
I'll try not to, but, you know, I'm a caveman, so it might come out.
That's absolutely fine, and trust me, we've already kind of this podcast, this episode is kind of, you know, the fuck it episode. So it means like it hasn't gone off the rails, but we're kind of jello minded right now. Like
we didn't even get on a rail today.
Don't worry. I think we're close.
Well, hey, man, I just, one of the things that I like to do on the show, of course, is I'm a fan of pro wrestling, as is everyone that comes on the show. Yep. I like to get the listeners to know who we're talking to and who to kind of, you know, go check out on the independent scene. Can you tell the listeners where actually you got your beginnings or where you started and decided to become a pro wrestler?
Yeah, no problem. I was an amateur wrestler first, and it was always because I wanted to be a pro wrestler. I had this old cop as a wrestling coach in high school, and I asked him when we could do submission holds, and he beat me up for that one. He didn't like that, but eventually I found Eric Young, currently of NXT, in Cambridge, yep. Ontario, and myself and Crazy Steve drove down twice a week. About a 3-hour drive one way to train, and that's how I got my start. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome. Eric Young, Crazy Steve, those are two phenomenal athletes in the business right now. How do you feel about seeing one of your coaches blowing it up on NXT right now? You must be pretty proud.
Oh, man. You know what? Everyone who knows EY has known he's one of the best talents in wrestling. He always has been. He's just a natural. And it's obviously time for him to get his due. I mean, he killed it in TNA, and now he's killing it in NXT, and it's only a matter of time before he's on the main roster and killing it there too. Just a talented guy, man.
I won't lie to you. I kind of want to see the World Elite in the WWE. That'd be kind of badass.
That was cool, man. That was a good deal. I liked it. I don't think it got its due. Looking back at old pictures that UI with no hair and no beard is very strange, but it was definitely a good idea. And imagine the talent they could put in it now; it'd be unbelievable. Although Sanity is doing,
sure.
I mean, we need Crazy Steve in there. Let's be honest.
Yes, I had.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Of course,
he did
again,
just have
Crazy Mary Dawson
did just
too.
Have his. Yeah, and Crazy Steve did just have his Performance Center tryout as well.
That's correct. Yeah, from all accounts, he did very well. So let's hope we see him up there soon.
And he's like a really nice guy. Like, I tried to get him on the show, he let me down in the nicest way possible. Like, I've never been rejected in the most nicest way. He's like, I'm very humble and I really appreciate it, but I'm not doing this right now. it was nice. Most people reject me by going,
like,
who? Most people just go, who the fuck are you? And no.
right.
But
I said, who the fuck are you? But I said, yes. So this is fun. I like talking about myself for 45 minutes. It's good.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to do it. Actually, who were your top three guys when you were younger? Who did you love
top
to see come? You know,
like,
yeah, man.
Well, Bret Hart was number one, obviously Canadian. I'm Canadian. Man, Cactus Jack was another one, which is strange looking back because I don't do anything he does in the ring. But I don't know, Dynamite Kid I was always a fan of too. I always liked the smaller technical guys because I'm not very big either. I was never a big hulking mass muscle monster. But, I mean, you got to respect the Hulk Hogan type as well. But I didn't get into wrestling, watching wrestling, till I was about 12, which is around 1996. So I missed the 80s completely, since gone back, obviously, and watched it. But that's why I was more of a Bret Hart, Owen Hart type guy, British Bulldog, Shawn Michaels, all those guys.
It's a good crowd, man. It's a good crowd. They brought a lot of energy to the TV screen, and they always goosebumps when, you know, when the story unfolded with those guys. They were never dull. So excellent choices, man. I have to ask you, though. I read on your profile, you also, and I'm not going to say dabble. I mean, you're actually a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
A purple belt, actually, which is...
Oh,
it's
a purple.
To get a black belt, yeah, in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it takes about 10 years, and I'm about 5 years into my journey. But, man, yeah, I wouldn't say dabble either. I'm very addicted to it. It's there's nothing like coming home from a long day of work and you're frustrated and you just want to, you know, unwind, and you get to go strangle your friends and try and not to get strangled. I mean, it's a real great way to relieve stress, and it's competition as well. And I've always grappled. I've wrestled since I was about 11 years old. So it's just the next logical step in my grappling journey. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And is this correct? You actually won a match with a figure four leg lock?
This is 100% accurate. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, I try and get pro wrestling is everything. It's you see it everywhere and you can relate to everything to it. So I said, why the hell not try a figure four? And whatever that move CM Punk used to do too, that's very legit as well. It works. The Anaconda Vice, all those neck locks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm also a big fan of catch wrestling, too, so that's based in pro wrestling, but legit side of it. And, I mean, a lot of those holds are banned in jiu-jitsu tournaments because they're too dangerous, but I like to train them anyway. It's a good time.
Where are some of the places that you've had the opportunity to wrestle in, and which one was your actually favorite? Which one kind of always sticks out with you when you're continuing on your journey?
Man, I've wrestled all over the world. I need to get to the UK somehow, man. It's hot right now.
Yeah.
I've never been to Europe to wrestle. Japan, I wrestled for All Japan. All over North America, Binoki Dojo in LA when it was a thing. I don't think it is anymore. I had a couple matches in TNA. No contract, but a few matches anyway. So, I mean, I've kind of been everywhere except for WWE in Europe. Japan, obviously, that was my goal from day one. I never wanted to get to WWE. I'm not saying I wouldn't ever want to wrestle there, but that wasn't my goal when I started. It was to get to Japan. I liked the more physical sports style rather than the entertainment style. That's changed since my body has started to break down a bit after 15 years in the ring. But, yeah, Japan was definitely my favorite place to wrestle for sure. And Ontario, Canada, man. The wrestling here is unbelievable. It's an untapped market for sure.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, the UK and Canada seem to be the places to be right now. I mean, of course, Japan, yes, that seems to be like the central goal for anyone to kind of go and pretty much polish themselves. But UK and Canada right now, they're just blowing up.
I mean, Ontario, Canada, and you hear guys say it on podcasts all the time. You hear EY say it. Bobby Roode, I was just listening to him on Edge and Christian podcast before I came on here. I mean, the guys that have come out of Ontario, just unbelievable talent. And for whatever reason, WWE is still not looking up here. TNA capitalized on it quite a bit. You see people like Rosemary and Allie and Sienna, all the girls there now, they all wrestle in Ontario. I mean, EY, Edge and Christian, Bobby Roode, like I said,
right.
Ty Dillinger, another guy I train with. And they're just, Ontario, man, they got to get eyes up here. And they got to do it now because the talent is unbelievable.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Who do you think are some of the best unknown talents? Maybe I shouldn't say unknown. lesser-known talents in Ontario that you would say, hey, these are probably the top 5 or 10 people you need to be looking at today? Who would you say they are?
Top five, off the top of my head, obviously number one, Cody Deaner, who just got a tryout as well with the WWE. Same one as Crazy Steve. He's definitely, no question, the best wrestler I've ever been in the ring with. I've learned so much from Cody over the years, and him and I have, we've got that legitimate, like the fit, how do I describe it? Everyone knows wrestling is what wrestling is. But Cody and I have had feuds where fans have called the police during the matches because they thought we were killing each other. This has happened on more than one occasion. No joke, at least 3 times. Tyler Turve is another guy here that's just, I mean, he's got the look, the talent, he can talk. The new guy just came in, former CFL player, Playboy John Atlas. Man, that guy's about 6'3", probably 230, solid muscle. Great talent in the ring. He's got a lot to learn still, but man, if you want to talk a natural pro wrestler, he's the guy. Those are the top 3 off the top of my head right now. I mean, you've seen Tyson Dukes in the Cruiserweight Classic. He's another guy that's just, for years, he's another one of my mentors and just amazing. He's wrestled all over the world, and he deserves a shot to wrestle for a living.
Excellent, excellent. Before we talk about, and if I'm not mistaken, your home right now, this is your central federation. It's Crossbody Pro Wrestling, correct?
I do the Crossbody shows, yeah.
Awesome.
Say my home promotion is Rock Solid Wrestling.
Rock Solid?
I help run the promotion in Rock Solid. It's more of a Northern Ontario promotion. But, yeah, Crossbody, absolutely. Another great promotion.
Well, I've definitely
talent.
Yeah, I was gonna say I've seen a few good matches with actually Cody Deaner as well, correct? From
absolutely
Crossbody. Before we get to that though, I usually like to break things up a little bit and ask just a random question.
Sure.
And I like to kind of do versus type stuff. How about this one?
Okay.
Who would win in a death match? Okay. Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Or Martin Riggs. And yes, I know it's
talking
the same
like
person.
God was in Samoa. It could be Tom Hardy, technically.
Yeah,
that's true.
Oh man, Riggs for sure. And here's why. Here's why. Because at the end of the first Lethal Weapon, he gets Gary Busey in a triangle choke. That means he's trained jiu-jitsu, and he will win the fight because jiu-jitsu is the best self-defense martial art. No question.
That's a legitimate
and
reason.
And he doesn't
to
really
partners.
He doesn't really give a fuck either about much. So yeah.
And not to mention his killer mullet.
Well, yeah, no question there. Solid mullet.
Mr. Stamper, how about you? Mad Max or Martin Riggs?
Oh, Riggs. Riggs is just nuts. Like he keeps it all together, but when he explodes, he's just nothing can stop him.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome actually. Mr. Quinn.
I'm going with Martin Riggs all the way, buddy. I can relate well to that guy. So, yeah, you won't hear a refute here.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with you on this one, Martin.
Although
it's all the way around.
John McClain.
John McClain's on a whole nother level, though. I mean, that's top-notch right there. But
the first movie, anyway, and the third one. The other ones kind of sucked, in my opinion.
Yeah, the first and third are the best. You have to really
first
one
is
one
of the first one's my favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Oh, for sure. That's funny. I tweet that every year. I'm watching my favorite Christmas movie. That's
okay.
Awesome.
It's true. Well, the top
just,
Christmas movies. Go ahead, Phil.
I was just going to say, but McClane can take a lot of punishment. As long as he has a gun, he's good. In a fight, I would still go Riggs.
It'd be interesting, man. Yeah.
But I'm almost certain that McClane carries pints of blood with him because the amount that he loses, he would have died 15 times in every movie.
True.
I'm just
following him around.
Oh, man. If someone said right now, Mr. O'Reilly, you have to retire tomorrow, last match.
Yeah.
The
top guy that you would love to step in the middle of the ring with, dead or alive, you're retiring. This is the guy that is going to complete your career. Who would it be?
This is super hypothetical because you can't retire from wrestling. It's not possible.
Fair enough.
I guess. I don't know, man. That's a tough one. Great Muta, I guess, I would say.
Really?
I love he's another guy. I mean, I didn't grow up watching him, but once I got into wrestling, I thought, oh, man, this guy, he's the perfect blend of North American and Japanese style. And, I mean, he's got character. I mean, I prefer Keiji Muto to Great Muta, but they both, like, that. I mean, I worked for him, too, and he's cool as fuck, so that helps. But, I would say Muta, number one, Dynamite Kid, two, Crazy Steve, three, because I love him. And we started together, so we should end together, too. I think that'd be more of a logical answer, one that might actually happen. But the other two, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I'm writing that down in my book right now, man. If it happens, you called it on Pin the Shortest Podcast.
You heard it here first.
Yep. If you could play, first of all, who's your favorite female wrestler? Who's the top chick right now that you feel is dominating the pro wrestling scene as far as women's competition?
Rosemary.
Nice.
Rosemary.
Very nice.
She's got it all. She's an athlete. The character is second to none. And you believe what she's doing. And you could tell she believes what she's doing in the ring, too. Character-wise, and the promos are just out of this world. You can tell a lot of thought goes into that character, and I don't think there's anyone that comes close to her right now in any promotion anywhere in the world. I'd say she's the number one woman in the world as far as female pro wrestlers. And, you know, why put the label female on it? I'm saying, you know, men as well. She's up there. She's very, very good, very entertaining, and total package as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I like Eva Lise. I'm digging her right now. She's brutal.
I'm not familiar with her. Where does she work?
She's on Lucha Underground right now, and I think she's just kind of all over. Check her out. She's not bad at all. She's beautiful too.
I don't watch a lot of Lucha Underground, but I definitely have to get into that. It's on Netflix now, so I have no excuse.
It's not bad, man. It's not bad at all. I think you'd like it.
I've seen a little, but it's not really my cup of tea. It's definitely, I like the way they come at things, though, with the soap opera-y kind of deal. I think it's a different concept, a different way to, wrestling now is all niche markets. It's your pro wrestling guerrilla style, your ROH style, your Lucha Underground style, your WWE style. It's all different niches. And, you can see the WWE is trying to capitalize on that, too, bringing in, basically raping the indies as far as talent goes. I mean, and which is a good thing for the people to get hired. Not a good thing for the indies, but the WWE, Triple H, or whoever is running that, I have no idea, but they have obviously noticed that, wow, we got to capitalize on these niche markets before we get left behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're talking about, we have that connection right now with the WWE and the indies, how do you feel about some of the guys? And I've been asking this, I've asked this a couple times, and I feel that it's relevant that we actually get the opinions of the indie guys. How do you feel about some of the guys over there at WWE saying that the indies, well, just down in the indies, really?
I mean, kind of talking anything. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that. I mean, there's a couple guys talking shit about the indies. I'm sure you've had this question asked before. How would you respond to, you know, if someone came to Jake O'Reilly from the WWE and started talking trash about the indies, what would you say to them?
I'd ask them why they're doing it. I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. It's entirely possible the guys that are saying that never worked the indie. And don't get me wrong, man, there's a lot of shitty indie promotions too. And you know, some of their points are valid. There was a thing about Randy Orton the other day talking about, actually, a kid from Ontario started it, talking about dives and all that shit on Twitter and how, you know, basically making fun of indie matches. He's not wrong, though. A lot of shows from start to finish on the indies are the same match over and over and over again. You know, 10 dives and head dump suplexes and all that shit. And, it, I mean, guys are trying to make their mark and get over with whomever, the internet or the crowd or their friends or whatever. But once you wrestle for a while, you start to realize that that style is dangerous and you're going to have trouble getting out of bed in the morning. They probably don't care. I mean, when I was 20, I didn't care either. But now I'm 33, and I'm starting to feel it, and I'm glad I didn't wrestle that style for very long. So, I mean, I'm sure the guys that are shitting on the indies, like you say, I haven't heard much of that, but I'm sure your ear to the ground more than mine. Their points are probably valid, and, I mean, both opinions. The fans of the indies are, like I said, they're looking for that niche market, and they like that style, and that's fine too. I don't think you should shit on any wrestling style. Indies, WWE, whatever, because it's wrestling is art, and you
right.
can't go up and say this Picasso painting sucks because it's not symmetrical, because someone else really loves it and thinks it's great. So, you know, everyone has their own opinion. They're all valid, but I don't think you should put any style down. I used to not think this way, but, you know, my mind is a little more open than it used to be, except for death matches. I think that's retarded, but anyway. Yeah, that's how I feel about that question.
Well, good answer. Since we're talking about you know, people, you know, dives and injuries and stuff, what's the worst injury that that you have taken and have recovered from? Obviously, you recovered from all of them, but what's the worst one that you've had experience?
So far, so good.
Right.
I got
knock on wood.
In the knee once. And my foot got stuck in the canvas. It was kind of a squishier ring. Speaking of shitty indies, a very bad ring, which is something we have to work with sometimes, unfortunately. And my knee went backwards and my foot stayed where it was, and it destroyed my ACL completely. That was the worst one. No, I didn't get surgery because my day job is I own a construction company, so if I had to feed myself, so I just kind of rehabbed on my own. But that and concussions, I guess, would be something we're more aware of now. Yeah, I would say I had a couple of real bad concussions, I think, that would be near the top of that list as far as injuries go.
Now, I have to ask you, you used to actually wear a singlet in the ring, and you've progressed over to suspenders. What's the story behind that transfer, you know, you going from the singlet to suspenders?
Well, I still wear a singlet 99% of the time, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll tell you how it started is that movie Snatch with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
I like that character. It's one of my favorite characters of all time. And Rob Fuego, I don't know if you've heard the name before, great trainer out of Toronto. Ran a promotion years ago called Blood, Sweat, and Ears, and he said, you need a character. You're just a guy in tights, and he was right. So I kind of modeled it off of that, and then Scott D'Amore loved it, and anytime I wrestle for Scott, I have to wear the suspenders. I don't get a choice. And certain promotions see that, and they like it, so that's what I do to I look at it as a job, right? So if that's what the boss wants, that's what the boss gets. If I have a choice, I wear the singlet because I prefer the more mat-based catch wrestling style. But if I am told, hey, we'd rather you do the Irish brawler in the suspenders thing, well, that's fine too. And it's just another job for me.
Dude, I dig it, man. I won't lie to you. It kind of reminds me of Wolverine. You kind of remind me of Wolverine. Has anyone told you that?
Yeah.
Like, you really need to come out with a cigar.
I've heard that too, that Aiden O'Shea used to do that in TNA, and I thought it was really cool. Wolverine, never heard that one before. I used to do the sideburns like him, but that got a little weird trying to sell tile jobs to people. But, I've never heard that. That's pretty cool. I'll take that compliment.
Heck yeah, man. Now, yeah, you know, people. Professional wrestlers have their own way of you know, handling hecklers and fans that, you know, as soon as you hit the curtain, they're booing at you. How,
Yeah.
You know, how does Jake O'Reilly handle that?
Handle a heckler or fan booing? Because they're two different things.
Okay, let's just go with both. Let's get an answer for both of them.
Well, fans booing is good. That's my job that day.
Nice.
I encourage that. And I encourage fans to voice their opinions and go crazy and have fun and enjoy themselves and go home saying, man, that was a good time. Get me yell at that bad guy and have that good guy punch him in the nose and whatever. But a heckler is a different story. A heckler is someone that goes there with the intention of disrupting the show. Actually had one last weekend in Hamilton. A lady just for whatever reason decided to chant boring at me for no reason. I mean, the match hadn't even started yet. So I put a headlock on and I got really enraged. I mean, sometimes I get a little too into character, which can be good, but can be bad too. Once resulted in me having to pay for a cameraman's camera because I pushed him over because I was mad at him. And that was expensive. But I just put the headlock on and stared at her until the crowd eventually turned on her, and that's usually a good way to get around that. Another way is to just ignore them. The problem is sometimes the hecklers, if the crowd is a smaller crowd, they get discouraged from enjoying themselves and enjoying the show and cheering and booing themselves because this lady or this guy has taken over by making themselves part of the show. And I think that's generally what a heckler's goal is, to make themselves part of the show. And I try not to encourage that by ignoring them, basically, if I can. If I'm in a super bad mood like I was on Sunday, then I'll acknowledge them, and it usually ends up in a bad way. So I try not to do that.
You're like, why is Jake O'Reilly standing beside my car right now? That's no bueno.
There was one time in Oshawa, Ontario. I don't know. Where are you guys from anyway?
I'm all the way up. Actually, I'm in Maine. That's a real state.
Maine.
And, yes.
I've been to Maine. Yeah, for sure. Good lobster.
That was excellent.
Anyway, Oshawa is the armpit of Ontario, Canada, basically. It's a toilet. And I had two brothers once. And this was years and years ago. I had a valet at the time who I was dating, and their little kid was running around and spit on her. And so these two drunk brothers, these two hecklers, were doing that all show, and I got enraged, and I got in their faces. What kind of parents are you? Blah, blah, blah. And the guy took a swing at me. So I ended up beating him up, and then his brother went to swing a chair at my face, and because his hands were above his head holding this chair, I just knocked him out with one punch. So that's the kind of stuff I try and avoid now. And this is, like I said, I was 20, 21 years old, so I'm a little more calm now. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of those type that try and take over the show and ruin everyone else's good time, because it's supposed to be a good time for your family to come out. And where else can you get 2-3 hours of entertainment for 10 or 15 bucks, right? So you want everyone to have a good time, and people like that just ruin it for everyone.
Well, it's the thing is, like, I've heard a few people say on, you know, on social media, a few guys, I think Matt Sells was one of them. He said, you know, if it's all good, like, a good payday is a hot dog, a beer, and a smile from a fan. Now, how true do you feel that, you know, the truth behind him saying that? Is that true? I mean, is that a good payday in some states where, you know, you just go there, the atmosphere is awesome, the crowd's awesome, and you just end up getting, you know, a happy crowd, a hot dog, and a beer?
No, man, that's terrible. You can't put a happy crowd in your gas tank.
That's true. Okay.
No.
That's true.
You got to make
That was a little bit of fluff then.
Well, I got to get paid to do it. I mean, I'm putting miles on my body that the average person, I mean, being a pro wrestling match, it's, say, choreographed, fixed, or fake, or whatever you want to call it, but it's like being in a car accident over and over again, smashing your body on the mat. I was listening to a podcast today. I think it was Joe Rogan podcast. He was talking about how the UFC canvas is a little squishy. If the guys fall on it, blah, 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 they still get knocked out. We do that night in and night out, and get up and walk away, like no big deal. Where you see these pro UFC fighters, they get slammed and they're out cold. So no, you gotta at least get a few dollars for that. I mean, don't get me wrong, it took me 14 years to finally start making money at indie wrestling, but I don't believe in the old new guy shouldn't get paid because he's new and all that shit. I think if you're going to go out there and put your body on the line, you should be compensated for it.
Well, I mean, I would have to, absolutely. I mean, first of all, you know, you really don't know. I mean, you kind of hope that you have a safe match. But, I mean, things happen, and that could be, unfortunately, a last match for somebody. So they should absolutely get not only the respect from the fans and the guys in the back, but, like you said, compensation. At least, like you said, a gas tank full, you know, a gas tank full to get home.
Yeah.
Respect is super nice, and I like respect, but it doesn't pay my mortgage.
Right. Right, absolutely. Now I have to, before we get to the last couple questions real quick, what's your favorite beer, man? What's the beer that you crack open every time that you...
Whatever's around.
There you go.
Generally,
there,
I guess.
You heard it, folks. So, you know, if you want to bring Jake O'Reilly anything to drink, you can bring him anything to drink. So he's not picky, guys.
Yeah, that's not a gimmick. I'll drink your beer. That's fine.
I have to. Now, before we get to the infamous road story, what are your plans for the 4th of July, man?
Well, I'm Canadian, so I'm going to probably do work.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
July 1st,
too.
Though, Canada Day. It's 150 years, so we're going to probably have some fireworks, a couple of drinks, go to the lake. Pretty much the same thing you guys do, only 3 days before.
Nice. Very
yeah.
Nice. Well, my mother's Canadian, so, you know, maybe
I'll
partake in. Yeah, absolutely. She's a doll, too. She's a saint.
Well, damn right.
All moms are saints. So what's your favorite story? What's your favorite road story, man? What's the one story that you always tell to the boys, to the ladies, to, you know, I know I get that response every time I ask, and I, and you think I'd stop asking, but I just can't, because I actually get a few good ones, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm hoping Jake O'Reilly has a good one for us tonight.
I'm sure you get a few good ones. I'm trying to think of ones that aren't, you know, that I can say on here that won't incriminate people.
Every time.
Well, I mean, it's not a road story, so I don't know, guys. I don't know. I could tell you the story of the time the church group let out in the middle of a street fight, and they ran in and literally barred the doors.
That sounds fantastic.
It's
yes,
not really
I would love
a
to
road
hear that.
Story, but okay. So
it ended up in a road.
Yeah, well, literally it did. We're embroiled in a bitter feud. And we're fighting, and it's the final match. It's a no holds barred match, so we're fighting all over the venue. There's probably, I'm not exaggerating, 400, 500 people there, and across the road is a giant church with probably a good 600, 700 people in it. So we come out, and we're brawling, and they had arranged for us to have a car in the parking lot to destroy, and we got on the top of the car, and we. I gave Cody a pile driver in the car, and he had a lead pipe. He tried to smash me in the face with it, busted the window. But as this is happening, church group lets out. So they walk out, and we could hear, like, a big commotion across the street. Now there's basically 1,000 people standing in the street wondering what the fuck's going on. And they ran back in, barred the doors, and next thing you know, the police have shown up. That's one of the times the cops were called on us. And
nice.
And they had to talk to us. I mean, there's other road stories. I'm not that guy that wants to spill the beans on that. So, I mean, if you had to give me some warning, I might have found one that wasn't triple X rated, but I think we're going to not do that today. Sorry,
I'm almost certain. No, that's fine. I'm almost certain pile driving Cody Diener on top of a vehicle is okay with us. That worked out
just fine.
And
it literally happened on a road, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect, man. Loophole.
That's a road story.
We don't mind loopholes.
Perfect.
Well, before we say bye to you, sir, of course we want to make sure that all the listeners know where we can find Jake O'Reilly on social media, and of course where we're going to see you in the ring next.
Well, social media, we got Irish Jake 15 at Irish Jake 15 on Twitter, Jake O'Reilly 15 on Instagram, and Facebook.com/catchesjakecan on Facebook. And next in the ring is going to be North Bay, Ontario for Northland Wrestling on Canada Day on July 1st. We're going to have a brawl outside and then get drunk and watch fireworks. So it'll be a good time.
Sounds fantastic. Awesome. Well, yeah, sir, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Welcome to the Genesis alumni, and hope to have you back on again real soon.
Awesome, man. Anytime. It was a great time. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Jake.
Thank you.
Well, folks, if you're just tuning in, you just missed the master of the pile driver, Jake O'Reilly. So what you got to do is you got to go download this podcast and listen to all the awesome stories that he's told us, all the awesome answers that he gave us, and yes, and then after that, download the rest of the Pin the Shoulders podcast episodes because they're all friggin' awesome. Before, you know, we do our thing, we say bye to you folks and wish you, you know, a happy 4th of July and be safe and drink responsibly and, you know, stay away from all, you know, all things that are going to get you arrested. I got to talk about something. You know, guys, you guys know I'm a Bullet Club fan and I really enjoy the Elite. And something kind of monumental happened for the Bullet Club at a Ring of Honor show. The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, is now the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. That to me is fantastic news. I don't know about you guys. How are we feeling about this kind of epic thing, not only for the Bullet Club, but for the Rhodes?
You want to tag her first, Phil, or?
Go for it.
All right, well, as everybody knows, I'm a big Ring of Honor fan, so I love Christopher Daniels. You know, I know time isn't on his side, so I knew the run wouldn't last forever, and I don't know, man. I think Cody's finally coming into his own. You know, I think since he left WWE, he's become a lot more rounded of a wrestler. And so I'm a lot more open to it right now than I was before. I'm actually liking it. I think it's a cool approach. I think it's great for Bullet Club. And, I think Cody's in the right place at the right time now. I think he did everything he could in WWE at the time. And I think we're going to see a different Cody now. I think it's just going to be a fun time to watch him. And a different time. It's a transition time, I think, in ROH, too. So I'm interested to see where they go from here now because they are losing a lot of talent to other promotions, you know, especially NXT, WWE. I'm on board. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Mr. President.
I mean, I think it's good news for everybody involved. It's good. It's a good buzz. It's good for Cody. It's good for Ring of Honor. Good for the Bullet Club. I think everybody benefits positively from this. I will say, unfortunately, I'm not intimately involved with what the happenings are in Ring of Honor, so I don't know where they're going next or what's going to be involved. But I'm interested in the buzz it is receiving. And Cody himself has garnered a good reputation for working with people, if a bit selective sometimes, but it seems like he's doing great with everybody he's working with.
Yes.
The thing with me is, one, I really like Cody Rhodes. I was excited for him to hit the independent scene. Of course, there was worries about whether or not he was going to be able to make it. And, of course, he proved everyone wrong. He's doing quite amazing, obviously, with the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Championship around his waist. That's what I'm happy about. I'm happy to see that he's doing well. Without a doubt, he's a tremendous addition to the Bullet Club. But what I would like to see is a possibility of maybe Kenny Omega getting jealous and going after Cody Rhodes in the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Championship. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I would love to see Kenny hold the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Championship. I think that would look sick. And I think that would be an awesome feud between, you know, I'm not saying Cody Rhodes is a leader. No one's ever said that Cody Rhodes is a leader. But he certainly is not an underling right now when it comes to ranks of the Bullet Club. I would like to see if the Bullet Club is going to go their separate ways. If, you know, because, you know, all good things do come to an end. And I would like to see the feud happen. And I would like to see, of course, you know, the Young Bucks have to decide whether or not, you know, they, you know, have to go with Cody or if they're going to stick with their longtime friend, Kenny Omega. I mean, I think there's a lot of avenues and story lengthening that can happen with Cody Rhodes being the heavyweight champion. That's what I'm excited to see. I'm happy to see Cody Rhodes make it in the independent scene, and I really, really want to see if they go the route of inner club feuding. So that's my take on Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Now we talked about this last week, and SmackDown it happened. They redid the Money in the Bank ladder match. Now, I was upset about it. I'm not big on Carmella. But, you know, a lot of people have told me, hey, she's a heel. If you don't like her and you're still watching, then she's doing her job. Absolutely correct. Couldn't agree more. But they did the match. They did the match here. And sure enough, Carmella ended up winning the match. Now, she didn't win with James Ellsworth help per se, but James Ellsworth did get involved. Do you feel that they kind of put a Band-Aid over the boo-boo that was Money in the Bank originally, or they did a good job with you know, kind of making it more legitimate for women's wrestling?
Brad, I'm going to actually sit back on this one because I can't give you an educated answer because I just got back in town like yesterday morning, literally, so I'm not caught up today on this match this week. Mr. Stamper, I don't know, maybe you caught some of them events this week, but I did not get a chance to.
No, I'll be very honest. I missed SmackDown Live. Correction, I missed the last match of SmackDown Live, which was the Money in the Bank match. I think the interesting word on the street, though, that I did see this morning was that this was the plan all along. So it wasn't that this was like a recovery from the pay-per-view.
Right.
This was a coordinated plan all along. And I'm like, well, okay, was it to give the speculation? Was it an attempt to also drive more traffic to a SmackDown Tuesday night? Which is really what I think it was. I really think they designed, okay, so you have a schmozzy little finish to Money in the Bank. We pay attention because they go right into, and Daniel Bryan's returning, and he's going to make a comment about it on SmackDown this Tuesday. You watch that Tuesday. Okay, next week we're going to have redo Money in the Bank. So I think that just drove traffic. I hope.
Okay.
And in the end, I hope it benefits the ratings.
Right, no, that's awesome. Of course, we don't want to see, you know, Big Daddy, if you will, go under, and they never will. But as far as, how do I say this without, I mean, I don't want to, because, you know, when I say I hate Carmella, it's because I just don't dig her.
Hate Carmella,
I don't
dig
her.
Ellsworth?
Ellsworth, I could go without him too, man. I just don't understand what his purpose is anymore. I mean, I understood that kind of. I heard good things about him in an independent scene. I heard he's a really nice guy, and don't get me wrong, that's great.
Not
you
at
know,
all.
You're a nice
Not
guy.
Not at all.
He's a douche, huh?
Oh, totally.
Oh, okay. Well, in that then, fuck it. I don't like the guy. I don't understand why he's in the WWE. He's not complimenting or supplementing anything to do with Carmella. I was really, really hoping that Daniel Bryan said fuck it and punched him square in the mouth when he was up in his face like that talking to him. Like, I don't know about you guys, but that, even if it's kayfabe, it was a blatant show of disrespect. And you can almost see it in James Ellsworth's face when he was talking to Bryan, or Daniel Bryan, the way he was talking to him. But he couldn't show up. He could not show up at all, and I probably wouldn't even notice. He just needs to not be there. There's plenty of other talent that could be by Carmella's side that would complement her.
What's his purpose? There's so many great people waiting in NXT, too, to come up, and then you got that. And I just don't see where it belongs right now. That's just my opinion.
Phil, I know we kind of know your opinion already on it.
I mean, I agree. I don't think Carmella is a great wrestler in the ring by any stretch of anyone's imagination. I don't think anybody looks forward to, like, let's see what amazing match she's about to have.
She moonwalks real well.
There you go. But, you know, you have to keep Big Cass happy, so that's horrible, and I shouldn't say it like that. And I actually don't see what she brings. I see why they picked James Ellsworth to be who he is in the WWE, because of his look. I mean, just as much as you get a Jinder Mahal for the look that he has, or Daniel Bryan for the not only the look but what he brings into a ring, you hire a guy like James Ellsworth, who is friends with some of the guys and who took advantage of a good situation for himself and got a lot of social media attention very quickly because he looks the way he does. And I'm not trying to disparage him. It's just the reality of the situation. And anybody who's ever been involved in movie casting, it's like it's often not about your skill. It's about the way you look. And that's unfortunate, but sometimes that fits. I know there are people. Right. I know that there are a lot of people who are upset with him up there as well. I mean, Booker T, in an interview, has been very vocal about his feelings about it. Now, he has to try to go back to his students at Reality Wrestling and try to explain, like, you know, why can't I get a job and there's James Ellsworth? And it's like, but you're missing the point. Do you want to be James Ellsworth? Do you want to be him and look like him and know you can't hold yourself together really in a match and be treated the way you're actually being treated, that, you know, you are the way you look. Now, what's interesting, though, is when the WWE's come back through the D.C., Maryland area and PA area, he's actually helped them recruit extra talent, which is, okay. You know, that's rubbed some people in a very interesting way. That's a whole other conversation. But I just don't think I thought they had already had pretty much run the course with the Ellsworth and Carmella thing. I thought, okay, it's at a point it's going to end. It's going to do the whole, like, they think they're in a different – or he thinks he's in a different kind of relationship with her than she thinks, and that's going to end their run together. And I – but you know what? Now this puts on a different perspective to what's going to happen to their story. There's probably going to be a lot more really swervy things that are going to come with Carmella having the Money in the Bank, because she can't have the quality of matches that we've been more and more used to seeing out of the women's division.
So do you think that now that she has that briefcase, do you think it's going to be quite a bit down, a ways down the road before she actually decides to cash it in and kind of maybe hopes that, you know, people will warm up to her, and maybe that, you know, she kind of, you know, adds a little bit of fire to her resume of moves and skill.
Say that again. You broke up a little bit.
Well, no, I was saying, do you think with her having the briefcase, do you think they're gonna wait for her to cash this, you know, cash it in like further down the road, and you know, it kind of hopes that the crowd and the fans will start to like her, kind of grow on her, and maybe she can also build her resume of moves and talents and skill in the ring. This is kind of like a tack, if you will, kind of pinning her to a corkboard until they, you know, kind of feel it's the right time for her to cash that in. Or do you think, or maybe, you know, maybe she'll be one of the few that fails. You know, people don't realize that, but, you know, people have cashed it in and have failed doing so. So, I mean, it could go both ways with this.
Will they do that on the first one?
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, she's, well, and that's just it too. They're trying to prove everybody, like, hey, we're smarter than you. We're going to do the things that you don't expect us to do, so that way you're surprised. I can kind of see that, even though I disagree with some of the choices they've made. That's my own personal creative choice. I think I just don't see it. I mean, I definitely don't think we're going to put a tack in it and let you get better because she was in NXT for four years before she moved up. So, if there was a time to, like, be concerned about her level of talent, that's when it would have been.
Right, okay.
I really think it's going to be more swervy kinds of stuff, you know, involvement from Ellsworth, you know, sneak attacks, not cashing it in, but looking like they're going to cash it in, kinds of things more than anything else.
Gotcha.
I think it'll
gotcha.
Be a slow burn with the Money in the Bank.
I could say that. Gotcha. I could say something to that effect.
No, I definitely see her teasing the crowd and teasing the WWE universe. You know, just coming down to the commentary table. That's gonna happen a lot, and a lot of smearing it in the other girls in the locker room's face. Of course, that's inevitable.
Sure.
But hey, guys, you know, before we kick off the show and say goodbye until and folks, we're not gonna have a show next week. We're going to give you guys a little vacation and, you know, let the hangover settle in and let you eat greasy McDonald's the following day. But the show is going to kick back on July 12th, and we're going to have JT Dunn on the show. So make sure that you're looking for all the social media, Fierce Brad and Pin the Shoulders podcast, and, of course, you know, Mr. Stamper, let everyone know where they can find you, and tell them about a few shows that are going to be hitting around your area, around everywhere, actually.
Sure, I'll be hitting up Legacy Wrestling this Saturday at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and the weekend after I'll be at Combat Zone Wrestling on Saturday, July 8th at the Flyer Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. And the Friday and Saturday after that, the 14th and 15th, is a two-day Shamrock Memorial Cup tournament with MCW Pro Wrestling at the MCW Arena in Joppa, Maryland. So a very busy July is about to start kicking off. And you can follow me on social media on Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter at PSPhenom. That's PSPhenom. And on Facebook, at Desk of Phil Stamper.
Boom. And Mr. Quinn, how about you?
Mr. Brad, folks, as always, you can follow me on all things the JQ Way. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, the JQ Way. And do me a favor, go out and follow our Facebook and Twitter pages too for No Knock List, and that's what it's under, No Knock List, because that movie is now 2 weeks away from coming into post-production, and that's one I want everybody to be on the lookout for, because there's a lot of good talent there and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears literally in that film. And so we're all excited about it, and, you know, I'm going to do a lot of shameless self-promotions because that's what we do, right?
Yes, sir, and I can't wait to see it. I'll be one of the first ones to buy it, so.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. And, of course, you know, follow Sirius Brad on Twitter at Sirius Brad. And Sirius Brad podcast for the show, and Facebook. I'm Brad Summerlin on Facebook. It will say Sirius Brad on there. And, of course, Pin the Shoulders podcast, Sirius Brad on Instagram. I try to get the show's schedule up as much as I can, the links to the show as much as I can. Kind of slack this week, I apologize. That won't happen again. But like I said, make sure you guys are tuning in. July 12th, we're going to have JT Dunn on the show. He's going to tell us about all the amazing matches that he's had just recently alone, and how he loves to use his favorite weapon, the elbow. This has been a great night, folks. Make sure you have a wonderful 4th of July. Have a safe one. Drink responsibly. And hand the fucking keys over. And, you know, I'm as much as I would like to joke about that, I'm not joking, guys. I really want you guys to be safe out there. And if you have a vehicle and you're drinking, hand those fucking keys over. It's you don't mess with that. There's just too many things at risk. And I would hate to hear about it, you know, one of our listeners getting in an accident over something stupid like that. So you guys have a safe, responsible 4th of July. And you know what, Phil? And James, you guys have an awesome fucking 4th of July, too, okay?
You
too, my brother.
Thank you very much. This has been Pin the Shoulders Podcast, and remember, it's never a bad time to be serious.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.